one and one for all. And that's what we're going to talk about today. That came to mind a few years ago as I was reading Scripture, studying Scripture. And so I decided to work on that, preach on that. And you'll see a little bit more about it as we go through here. All for one, one for all. We're going to be looking at two sets of Scripture, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, and then Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. We'll look at in just a few minutes as well. You probably remember the famous slogan from the Three Musketeers, from the movies, all for one and one for all. And regardless of where they were, whether in uniform or in street clothes, all that was needed was for one of them to give the call, all for one, and they would all answer and reply, and one for all, and they all joined together. There always seemed to be plenty of musketeers available and around at the time, at least in the movies, it was that way. And as I was reading Scripture one day, the Three Musketeers slogan and battle cry came to mind because I truly got to think about, isn't that what God calls all of us to be part of? All for one. We're all to be united as one across the globe as servants for Him, as His cause, fulfilling His cause. And then He is the one for all. He died for all. And so it truly is, I believe, God's battle cry for us, all for one and one for all. Let's look at our first scripture, if you would, this morning from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says this, "For we are His creation, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time, so that we should walk in them." Now, leading up to this verse, the Apostle Paul is reminding the believers at Ephesus that in the past they walked and they talked in the ways of the world. Before becoming believers in Christ, you and I acted the same way. We very much lived in ways that were unbecoming of the name Christian. But that is the past, and as believers of Christ, we are to be strong enough to leave all of those ill-fated and unbecoming ways behind. Now, that's a struggle, isn't it? It's okay to do this because it's a struggle. It's a struggle. It's a lifelong struggle. It's always a struggle. But we're to leave those behind. Paul is saying, you acted and you did those things before because you did not know any better. But our relationship with God changes all of that. In this verse, our first point this morning, in this verse, verse 10, Paul states, we are God's workmanship, His creation. We are God's workmanship, His creation. Do you understand what this means? To be His creation? Shortly after moving to California, almost 20 years ago now, Pam was coming home for Mother's Day weekend, and so I purchased some different sizes and lengths of lumber and some wood stain and some other materials. And while she was gone that weekend, I built us a short, not very tall, but about, I guess, 4 foot tall or something like that, a bookcase to hold books and other things that are on it. And now, I'm not a master craftsman. I'm not a carpenter, and I'm definitely not a cabinet maker. But I measured and cut and assembled these pieces of wood for a purpose, to hold books. And today, that bookshelf is still fulfilling its purpose. Now, I'm not mechanically inclined, and I'm not especially gifted in these areas, yet this bookcase came out fine, and I'm proud of that. Now, I'm not going to take you, if you come to my home, say, hey, come let me show you something that I did, what I did or what I built. I'm not going to do that. I've never taken anybody, shown them that. But that bookcase is fulfilling its purpose. It is doing everything that I designed it to do. In our verse, Paul says that God created you, He created you and me, created us with a purpose in mind. And He created us with the intent that you and I are to carry out His purpose, just as that bookcase is fulfilling its purpose. And you know what? There has not been one day in the life of that bookcase where it said to me, I really am tired of this. I want to do something else. That bookcase has never said anything like that. That bookcase holds up every book, every picture frame, and every knickknack that we place on it. And it does it without sagging and without faltering and without complaining. It doesn't even complain about the furniture around it. I want to be a couch for a while. It doesn't do that. Sounds kind of silly, doesn't it? But it doesn't do any of that. See, the question, the point is that that bookcase is fulfilling its purpose, the purpose that it was designed for, that it was created for. And the question is, are you just as stalwart in fulfilling your Creator's purpose as that bookcase is? Because there is absolutely no reason why you cannot be just as stalwart. We are all created to fulfill God's purpose in our lives. And if we will spend our time watching where God wants us to help someone, to invite someone to church, we can stay on our purpose when we stay connected. First, do you realize that you are God's workmanship? You are His creation. He created you with a purpose. Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16, which I read and prayed from a while ago, says, "For you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am remarkably and wonderfully made. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." What an awesome fact. I mean, you ever read that and just think, wow, what an awesome fact. God not only created every small, intricate part of our being, He already knew what we were going to be. He knew before you were born what your occupation was going to be. He knew where you were going to live. He knew who you were going to marry. He also knows your potential. God is proud of His creation. I believe He's especially proud of His prize creation, you. And in as much as I wanted that bookcase to fulfill its purpose, I can just try to imagine how much more God desires for you and for me to fulfill our purpose that we were created for. David says God wrote down in His book what your purpose was to be. God wrote it down before you were born, what your purpose was to be. I wonder how many of us will look with disappointment at what we could have accomplished had we trusted and focused more intently on God's purpose for our lives. You see, folks, you are God's workmanship. You are His creation. He has a purpose for you. He created you with a purpose. And our second point is that, is God's desire is for me to fulfill my purpose. Let me give you a couple of ways that you can find and follow your God-given purpose. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 and 18 says this. It says, "For as the body is one and has many parts, and all the parts of that body, though many, are one body, so also is Christ. But now God has placed the parts, each one of them, in the body just as He wanted." This is, again, another one of those wonderful facts that as I read Scripture, I just have to, wow, God, I just can't believe that You that so intimately did that and so intricately. God created this intricate body of ours to function in a certain manner. And it does. Most of the time. I have never had this hit home to me as I did lying in a hospital room probably 30 plus years ago now. I had been sick and the doctor said I'd thrown my electrical system out of whack. My heart wasn't beating right and he said all my electrical system was out. It corrected itself in about 3 days. But I was laying there in this hospital room having an electrocardiogram done. And I noticed this, you know, it's like a sonogram, I guess, or an ultrasound, and you get to see it on the screen. They had me laying where I could actually watch it, and this lady put this, that cold gel, any of you ever had that happen, you know what I'm talking about, that cold gel on that paddle, and she put it on and started moving it around in my heart. And I noticed as I was watching that screen, there was something real little, looked like a piece of thread or maybe lint that was just sitting there moving around, and I thought, well, she either didn't clean that paddle off or I had a piece of lint or something on my skin as she was moving around. But then she explained what that was. She said, "That's actually a valve in your heart." And it was so thin and so tiny, and I'm thinking, oh, my goodness. And then I realized that she's right. It wasn't just moving around. It was just moving, opening and closing. And it was so thin, and I thought, how in the world can that last a lifetime? How? God created me. And that real little tiny, thin, it's a valve just flapping back and forth is doing it. That valve is, here again, I've done this before, I'm going to do it to you today. I've got an analytical mind, so I had to start thinking about that. That valve is opening and closing almost 173,000 times every day in your heart. That means it's opening and closing 63 million times a year, and it's still lasting. which means it's opening and closing over 4 billion times in a lifetime. God created something so small, so tiny, so thin to last an entire lifetime. You see, folks, God did not design your body with only 3 or 4 working parts and all the rest is just there, just filler. It's just making up space. Every part of your body, every tiny little part, like that little valve, God created with a purpose. Every part of your body has a working function. It has a purpose to keep you going, to keep you alive. Likewise, God has designed the church as a body. And we've heard that prayed today. God has designed the church body where not only the ministry of a few, only 4 or 5 of us really count, the rest of you just in supporting roles. No! Every one of you has an important part to play. Each one is important, just like that little valve and every other little part in the body. And each person sitting here this morning, each person within the sound of my voice has an intricate part in the body of Christ and His church. See, you may not be the eyes or the hands or the feet or the face or what somebody sees. You may be something like that little tiny valve. You know, if that little tiny valve stops, you know what happens? You stop. You're dead. And so your part may be what's keeping the rest of the body going alive, and you need to help make sure you're fulfilling your role. You have a particular role to play that is critical to the life of this church. You have a particular role to play. It may not be what you think it is or what you would want it to be or what you thought it was going to be, but you are part of the all for one and the one for all. God did not create us to work alone. He did not create you to work alone. It takes all the parts working together to fulfill God's purpose for His church. That valve would only be flapping in time if there was not another part of the heart pumping the blood with a force to push the blood through that valve and into the bloodstream where it goes and other parts taking it all the way through the body. Every part is important, is critical. And you see, as a church body, our motto really should be all for one and one for all. We are the church. We are the body of Christ. Our third point this morning is God enables me to fulfill my purpose. God enables me to fulfill my purpose. We looked at first that we are God's workmanship, His creation, and God's desire is for me and you to fulfill our purpose, but God enables me to do that. So He didn't leave it to chance. He says, I'll take care of it. I'll help you. I will enable you to do that. When I truly seek to fulfill God's purpose in my life, He will enable me to fulfill my purpose. Folks, I never thought I'd be working in Christian education or leading churches the way I get to today, the way I'm blessed to. Some people say, oh, I'm so sorry you got to go to Alabama again. It's okay. I love it. I love it. And God takes care of me. There's no telling how many times when I get to heaven, God to show me how many times He kept me awake on the road or kept me out of trouble. But I love traveling and doing what I do. I love working with churches, with multiple churches. I love what God has me doing. I never thought I'd be doing it. I was a youth minister, bivocationally a youth minister. We don't call them that, but that's what I was. I was working operations manager in the corporate world. But God had plans beyond my wildest comprehension. And that brings us to our second set of scriptures from our passage today. It's Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, where it says, but now, even more, I was going to read it. I forgot. This, I think, is in another translation. But now, even more, in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is working in you, enabling you both to will and to act for His good purpose. Now, folks, salvation is salvation. Don't get twisted on me here or think about, wait a minute. God, salvation is salvation. You don't have to work for your salvation. You could not earn it if you wanted to work for it. There's no way you can. Salvation comes through Christ alone, through our belief in Christ. Paul is saying here, with a reverence to God and humility, search for God's desire, His purpose for your life, His purpose for your salvation. What are you to do now that you are saved and redeemed? You cannot enter this journey with any presuppositions of what you want to be or what you might be for God. And that's what too many of us, I think, do. I posted something on social media earlier this week that talked about that there's many people they're not following the Christ of the Bible. They're following the Christ that they made up in their own mind that suits their own beliefs and their own thoughts. Folks, you have a purpose. God created you with a purpose in mind, and that purpose may not be what you want it to be or what you thought it might be, but God has a purpose for you. If you can sing, then sing. But that might not be His purpose for you. If you can serve on a committee, then serve, but that's probably not His purpose for you. I don't read anywhere in Scripture where it says God created so-and-so to serve on a committee. That's probably not your purpose, but serve when you're called to serve, when you can serve. Your purpose might simply be to volunteer a couple of hours a week at a nursing home or at a school, just listening, sitting, reading to someone. It might be to have a listening ear at work or at school and being ready to share your story. We talked about that the whole month of September and the first week of October. We talked about how to share your story and how to share the gospel. And it might just be that's your calling, is just to have a listening ear ready for those opportunities that we've talked about, to share the story of God in your own personal life. You can't tell God what you want your purpose to be. Doesn't work that way. But He will give you the passion and the resources to work it out, to fulfill that purpose. And I guarantee you it'll be much greater than anything you ever thought you could do. It's much greater. He will help you to fulfill your purpose. Look at what Paul says. He says, God works in us so that we will have the desire and the ability to work out His dream, His purpose for us. Yet another wonderful and amazing fact, I believe. He works in us. He works inside us. He works in us so that we will have the desire and the ability to work out His dream, His purpose for each one of our lives. He has a purpose for us. He has a dream for us. He has a desire for us. And He has absolutely all the resources that you need and that I need. And they're already at our disposal. We just have to go in search of them, seeking them, finding out, and then staying with God so He will reveal those to us. Now here's a word of caution. In that same passage, 12 and 13, I just read them. Verse 14, this one we don't often read, but it says, this is the Apostle Paul speaking again. He says, do everything without grumbling. Do everything without grumbling and arguing, so that you may be blameless and pure, children of God, who are faultless in a crooked and perverted generation. Ouch! I know some church people that would have had a fit over that one. I've known some church people that believe that argumentative is a spiritual gift. It's not, folks, not even close. But if I'm doing my part daily, I will fulfill the one for all, and I will also champion the all for one. This truly should be our motto as God's children. All for one. We're all united together to fulfill the Great Commission. That's His purpose for His plan for the church, is to fulfill the Great Commission. And it should be our motto. All for one and one for all, because Jesus Christ died for all. Finding it and living it is finding and living the dream. That's God's purpose, for us to find and to live His dream, His purpose for us. What is it? What is His purpose for you? Are you living it? Are you certain you're in the center of what God wants you to do, to be? I want to share a story this morning. I would say I'm going to close with a story. It's a fairly lengthy story. But it's something that most of you are familiar with. This is one woman's story of pursuing God's desire for her life. Her name is Sandra Harrison. And when Sandra Harrison's husband, Ron, was called to be the director of missions for South Yadkin Baptist Association, this is in Statesville, North Carolina, little did she know, and I've copied part of this from a story that I read several years ago, little did she know what God would do through her. Before the move, she remembers a woman in their church saying, Sandra, you think you're going to North Carolina to support your husband, but God has a work for you there that you have never done before. What would you do if somebody came to you this morning and said, God's got to work for you. You ain't never done before. You're about to get involved in it. What would you do? Sandra began praying. I think that's what I would do too. Sounds like a smart move. Sandra began praying about it. She began thinking about it and to asking God about what that work might be. What special work was He calling her to South Carolina to do? And after they moved, Sandra began to see the needs. She said, so many needs. Needs of children in the community. She began to pray, Lord, is my service to be after school care? Is it to be tutoring or maybe a clothes closet to help clothe some of these children? But she said God's answer was nothing she could have ever imagined. He wanted her to start a toy store. Now, y'all are familiar with that because you're part of one of those toy stores. Now, this was back in the mid-90s, maybe 93 or 94 when this happened, when she got this revelation. God wanted her to open a toy store. She'd never heard of that before, never seen that before. And so she was scared to death, in her own words. But she also knew that God was compelling her to follow His lead and fulfill her purpose. When I read this story, they were in the 11th year of the toy store. That's been 15 years ago now, so it's 30 years, maybe close to that now, 25. But the toy store had been in its 11th year. It has been what they call there the mother of all ministries. Listen to this. In its first 10 years, the toy store had given away 12,357, or given toys to 12,357 children. That's pretty neat. But that's not what draws my attention to this story. Because the toy store had given away over 12,000 toys, and 962 parents had come to know Christ as personal Lord and Savior. In 10 years, how many churches do you think it would take to reach that? If we went back through your records, through the records of Central Baptist Church, how many years do you think we'd have to go back to find 962 professions of faith? It'd be a lot more than 10. But they did it through a toy store. Who would have thought in this bedroom community tucked away in the foothills of the North Carolina mountains that one woman and a bunch of toys given in Jesus' name could make such a kingdom difference, could make such a kingdom impact? You see, God knew. And God had a purpose. Anything is possible when God is involved. Over the years, 100% of the churches in that association have participated by sending toys, money, and volunteers to the toy store. At that time, in the 12 years, going back to the story, in the 12 years that Ron had been there, the association had grown from 52 churches to 70. God continues to bless them in many ways. And I haven't done an update on that, but the toy store had opened to three different stores. They've been in three different areas. And then they were also, back around 2010, they were still doing this. They were sending excess toys to New York to a toy store they had set up just in New York City, not far from Ground Zero. And they've been doing that every year since 2001. The toy store has been... has mothered other ministries. Other ministries have started because of it, a clothing closet, a food pantry, after-school tutoring with three locations, adopt-a-school programs, and a creative county fair ministry for the carnival workers. That's, you know, you're reaching somebody you can't expect nothing out of because they're gone next year, here a week and gone. But they do that every year. They have some creative fair ministries for the carnival workers as they come to town. The toy store operates this way. I don't know how this one operates. I've never really been a part of the association. I've done a few of these interims, but I've not done that. But there, the toy store operates by asking the churches to declare November as Toy Store Month. And then each church has an in-gathering Sunday, one Sunday, where it's called an in-gathering Sunday, where all the children bring the toys, the new toys, and they lay them on the altar. And they have these there to be donated to the toy store. And then all the members, children and adults alike, come forward and lay their hands on those toys and pray over each one of those toys. All for one, one for all. And then families receive a letter of invitation to come to the toy store, and they get their referrals from teachers and church members and pastors. And toys are priced at 10% of their actual value, or they're free, so they don't make them pay for it. But to help the parents keep their dignity, keep their self-esteem, they let them pay 10%. So if it's a $23 toy, they get it for $2.30. Now, I think that's a neat idea. And every person that comes in there is witnessed to. They volunteers share a witnessing booklet, find out what's about the family and the story, what's the story behind them being there, and then volunteers share a witnessing booklet or some tract with each parent who visits the store. That's how they've reached 962 parents for Christ in 10 years. And Sandra, the lady that started it, vividly remembers the mother of a little girl named Jennifer. She said it was a cold morning when this woman walked in, and she was warmed immediately with a hot cup of coffee and caring volunteers. And as they sat down and talked with this woman, they found out that her husband had lost his job 6 months earlier. And Jennifer, the little girl, had asked for a blue Sky Dancer doll for Christmas. And the mother said before she came in that morning, she had knelt beside her bed and prayed that if God were God, that he would please provide this one thing for her little girl, Jennifer, this one blue Sky Dancer doll. And as she walked through the store, that toy store that morning, Jennifer's mom, Sandra says, threw her arms around the one and only blue Sky Dancer doll that God had placed there for Jennifer that morning. And she said as she threw her arms around that doll, pulled it off the shelf, her mother just cried out in the middle of the store and said, "Lord, you really are who you say you are." And she cried it out and just wailed out. You see, Jennifer's mother had made a commitment to Christ in her teens, but she recommitted her life that day in the middle of that toy store. Folks, that's what finding your purpose is all about. It is about doing what God desires and hearing God whispering to parents saying, "I love you, and I am who I say that I am." Sandra's advice to every woman, and I think it's advice for all of us, is to pray and to ask God what he would have you do for his glory. Not about you, not about what you want to do. What would he have you do for his glory? And then she says, keep your eyes wide open and he will show you. And I can testify to that too. That's good advice for all of us. And it's the same advice that Paul has been giving us in the scripture that we've read this morning, both in Ephesians and Philippians. The video clip that you saw earlier was a call to action. It was a call to reinvigoration of the musketeers. You saw them pulling out their famed capes and their swords. Folks, just like the musketeers, the time has come for the reinvigoration of the church. The call has come to pull out from hiding the cape of Christianity and our sword, the Bible. That's our sword. The call has come to pull them out from hiding. It's time to get back into action. The action that we were established for and to fulfill our God-given purpose. Each one of us individually, so that we as a church are fulfilling God's purpose. What is stopping you? Ministry is reaching out to other people. It's helping someone up. And God has given you gifts. He's given you talents. He's given you abilities. He's given you resources. And he's also given you a purpose to reach beyond yourself, to reach beyond your family, to reach beyond these walls. All for one. One for all. Because he died for all. Would you stand with me? Father God, as we come to this time in our service this morning, it's our time of response. And I pray that we would each one respond to you as you've been calling us, as you've been talking to us, as you've revealed things to us this morning. Respond, Lord, that we would respond to you in the way that you desire. That we would respond to you and asking you to help us to fulfill our purpose. We may be doing quite a bit, but are we fulfilling that exact purpose? And maybe we feel that there's one part that we're still not there on. Then I pray, Lord, we would surrender to that today and say, Lord, whatever that part is, help me to find it, to discover it, unearth it, and to build it up to be all that I can be for you, what you created me to be. Father, I pray that we would come forward today, that we would come forward and just kneel and pray and say, God, help me to fulfill my purpose. And then when we see others come forward, that we would not look down on them, but on just the other hand, we would cheer them on. We would lift them up, and we say, thank you, Lord. They've been an encouragement to me. May I do the same. Father, you truly have called us to live in unity, all for one. That we would all be together in fulfilling the Great Commission. We would all do our part in the body. That whatever small part we have, we would be a part of fulfilling the Great Commission for you through this body of believers that you brought us to be together in. And we do that because there's one for all. Jesus Christ died on the cross and buried our sins and then rose again that we could have victory in Jesus. Father, I pray for someone here that does not know that, does not realize that, does not know that they will spend eternity in heaven with you. And I pray that today would be the day that they would make that decision. They would come forward and ask for more direction on how to understand that. And we could clearly direct them in that way. Father, whatever it is, wherever we have slipped, wherever we have fallen, wherever we have not been the all for one and proclaiming the one for all, pierce our hearts right now. Convict us where we need to be convicted so that we can walk out of here stronger in the faith, stronger in Christ-likeness, stronger in our walk, stronger in fulfilling our purpose. And we pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You respond as God leads you this morning. What is it God would have you do?